for the holiday.
Oh, ow, oh,
that was love, wasn't it?
Oh, and hello.
Should I speak it a little?
I was in a good mood until about 5 seconds.
Ow. Oh, it's Tim Riley.
Four bleeding ears.
You could have a bleeding brain.
Oh, it's too soon. It's not too soon.
Well done. All of a sudden, we all have headaches after reading this story.
Way to be cutting and topical. Fantastic. Bada bing. It's 3 minutes and 28 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of December in the year of our Lord, 2006. Live from the plushly appointed and germ-laden studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio, this, my friends, is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It is Thursday, and welcome to Day 12. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com, because there are many things that are going to kill you. Things you never even anticipated.
Could happen suddenly. Children could choke on cigarette butts.
So we're told. Don't let your children eat fistfuls of cigarette butts. Mom, Dad, this holiday season, we know cigarette butts are a shiny, enticing treat to the younger sets. But please, for your own sake. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email it's rick@rickemerson.com with your comments, your clarifications, your kvetches, your what have you. That is the way in which you can engage with us electronically on this very fine Thursday. It's 503-733-2970 rick@rickemerson.com. And we began this long music set with XTC, except they're not called XTC there,
the
right?
The Three Wise Men.
And that's why I can never find it.
Yeah. Well, you can't find it anyway. It's an import.
This is the thing I go through every Christmas season. I am the very worst about organizing all the Christmas music, because every year I create the Christmas CD, and I did this for the first time in whatever, 1998, whenever it was that we had the first Christmas show here, and I compiled all the Christmas music together onto a CD, and then when the holiday was over, rather than just carefully archiving it or putting it in some place where I knew where it was going to be for time evermore, I just like chucked it into the back of my car or into my basement or something, and then I forget about it until like the next Christmas show comes around, and then I never know where anything is, and it's all unlabeled, and it's all like a bunch of crap that I took off Napster like, you know, 15 years ago, and all the files were all misnamed. And so it's like that thing we were playing yesterday, that Lean On Me that Scotty was claiming was my Michael Bolton, which I've never heard in my life, and which I strongly suspect is a mislabeled version of something else. Anyway, so I can never find, the point is I can never find this XTC Christmas song. And so thank you, Tim Riley, for bringing that to our attention.
You're so welcome.
Is that your favorite Christmas song?
That is my Get Ready for the Holiday song.
Now, is that your favorite secular Christmas song or your favorite holiday song, period?
Oh.
Do you draw a distinction in your head between hymns and secular Christmas music?
Not really. But I would say that is my favorite secular Christmas song.
So your favorite non-hymn Christmas song, holiday song.
Yes.
Whatever it is we're legally obligated to. All right. It's 503-733-2970 or rick@rickemerson.com. I do, as a brief side note here, I will try to get to this. I'm not even going to tease this because I can't guarantee that I'll get to it. But it occurred to me that it's not really... It's almost pointless now to play this thing where Geraldo Rivera looks back on the Al Capone's vault opening, except for two things. Sarah has never seen it, and it's a thing that she hears us. And the thing about this Al Capone's vault opening is it's a thing that is a pop culture reference. It's a thing that people do refer to, not just in Titanic, but elsewhere as well. So it's a thing you really should be up to speed on that. And as of last night, I haven't posted it yet. The pictures of the toilet smashing are up. But the audio, Scotty has boiled the entire sad, sorry, horrific, wonderful incident down into like a 2.5 minute clip that I'm going to try to play later on. So we may do the... I feel a little bloated today. I don't know what that's all about.
Should we get in the scale?
No. No. No, we should not.
Let's see if there's a reason.
I'm not going to do the... We're not going to make it a daily... Not going to... And by the way, you sons of bitches, I want to note something. Now, you can't see them right now because it's inside. Not inside me, but you can't see the label on these pants. But I will have you know that I checked the pants when I was putting them on this morning. The a-holes, and these are 31, 32 pants.
Are you sure they're not 32, and 31?
They're not 32, no, and I am not getting shorter. I am not turning into my grandmother. I am not...
Did Scotty bring the measuring tape in today? Because there is no way that you're 6 feet tall. And I want to hear that. I want to see that as a proven fact. And can we just say preemptively that I'm sick and that's why I sound weird? Because I'm listening to myself.
You know, it is. You know, that's God punishing you for being mean. It's a little instant karma. That's for blasphemy.
That's not nice.
I'm just saying. It's 503. I think the, you know, I think a nicer person would have a stronger immune system. I think that God is depleting your white blood cells as punishment for your meanness.
Hey, I made it halfway through December. That's better than I usually do.
You know why this is? It's because you got the flu shot. That's exactly what this is.
I got the flu shot. No, I would have already had the flu a couple times.
I got sick after the flu shot.
That's what I'm saying. See?
No, I would have already been sick. I really am. I really do believe the flu shot helps me this year.
All right. I don't understand, and I don't want to get bogged down in this, but I don't understand the difference between the flu and the cold. I just call everything a cold. You know what I mean? I don't really understand. I know that the flu is a different thing, but in your head, don't you just sort of assume it's the same? Like, in your head, don't you just put cold and flu? Because they say cold and flu season is here. There is, I don't think anybody out there draws a distinction. I think colds and flus are, this is, even as I say this now, I can tell it's the most uninteresting thing that I could possibly be ruminating on. So I'm going to end it right now. Scotty, we do have a measuring tape. Now, is this a real measuring tape? This isn't going to be some...
This isn't a string.
It's not something that you use to measure how many fathoms are in your well or whatever out back in the old watering hole. It cost you $5. Okay, thank you. Let's see. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson radio program.
Like you did by the lake on Naboo. No!
A good friend, Aaron Geek in the City, Durant. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you, Shorty?
I'm fine. Wait, thank you. Where does your boss think you are when you're on the phone with me?
I'm on break. I actually saved my break for this.
Oh, this... Thank you. I'm sorry that you have to squander it on something so meaningless and stupid. The, all right, so we do have...
I'm going to the bus now. Thanks.
Yeah. That's what I do. No, just because it takes us so long to get to this sometimes, because we get bogged down in all manner of discussions about the difference between cold and flu season and Al Capone's vault and whatnot.
Yeah, that's true, because I'm reading the symptoms for the Theraflu, and it says, relieve these symptoms due to a cold, and it says aches and pains, headache, sore throat, nasal congestion, and fever.
Yeah, it's exactly the same.
So what is,
How is the flu different than that? How is influenza different?
The flu is a virus. The cold, I believe, is just your body reacting to you not taking care of it and, you know, poor weather.
You're making that up right now. You are making it up. You don't know.
Certainly not. Here's where I know the difference. The flu will land my asthmatic ass in the hospital, and a cold will not.
Yeah, I think that's just because the cold is... See, now we're doing it. Despite my claim like 10 seconds ago that we weren't going to talk about this because it was completely uninteresting. The thing is, I was to understand that the cold, the common cold as they call it, see, the irony is that the common cold is not so common. That's why they can't come up with a cure for it, because there is no one cold virus. There are many thousands of constantly mutating and basically you're all going to die because the common cold can't be stopped. It's absolutely not human. It won't be reasoned with because there's all manner of variations on it. And in that, Matt, see, now I'm in it again, and I'm becoming bored with it. Okay, we're going to stop right now.
Isn't your wife a nurse? Why do you not know these things?
Because her expertise is old people who smear their poo. So, that's the kind of nurse she is. That's the kind of, really, that's what she does. She's not really the I've got a cough nurse. She's the... I'm seeing dead relatives and large spiders running all around the room wearing a series of wacky hats.
She's more zookeeper than nurse.
That's not how I would choose to put that. And probably she would not put it that way. Now, she's kind of a nurse ratchet. Let's put it that way. I didn't want to say that, but that's really what it is. I'm married to nurse ratchet.
That one.
No, it's true. It's true. All right, let's see here. So here's what we're going to get to today. This sort of dovetails with what we were just talking about. We'll find out what's going to kill you this holiday season, including your children stuffing their faces full of cigarette butts. because they've run out of peanuts. What else do we have? Guys on mountain. Oh, the humanity. Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, did they find them?
No, they're going to find them next year. Huddled over, like trying to chip arrowheads out of stone, hunting for bison.
With pieces of their bodies eaten away.
We're going to find them in some bear feces come spring. Oh.
What the hell is going on where you are?
Sorry about that.
Okay. Lisa Goddard will be here. Her news report today will contain the fantastic phrase, "You must avenge my death." Jim Roop will pretend to care about the Golden Globe Awards. What else? Oh, and we may have... Let me check my phone. Wait. Do I have confirmation yet? No. And no. Now we may have an exciting special guest later on in today's program. I don't want to announce that. I'm not even really going to tease that. I'm just going to say that that may happen. We may have an exciting guest coming up later on. So there you go. That's and today, without fail, we will get to the worst story you've ever heard, which is from Germany and involves something that is, quote, soiled beyond recognition. So there you go. That's what you got to look forward to today. Oh, and a pair of L.A. Guns tickets. Fantabulous. All right. And I'm at what? How many push-ups? Five?
Yes, you are currently at five.
I'm at five, and those must be done at the end of the week.
That is correct. Well, you teased a lot today, too. I sent you working off some weight and actually getting to 31 waist.
No, I'm not about it. No, I feel bullish about my chances today. All right, thank you. Oh, and you're doing it. We should talk about this real quickly. You're doing the Die Hard commentary this weekend,
yeah,
right?
Are you coming Saturday?
Yeah, now what time? Is it Saturday night?
Yeah, 7 o'clock.
Saturday, 7 o'clock, drunken Die Hard commentary for Film Fever Radio.
That's right.
All right, excellent. Who else is going to be in?
A plate of Twinkies.
Who else is going to be in the commentary track?
Well, Scott, myself, Kat, the hot D&D chick.
Fantastic.
Clyde and Jason.
All right, yeah, I will totally be there. Excellent.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well done. Aaron Geek in the City, Duran. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
All right, there you go. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Let's welcome Sarah Dillon, who has never been more glad in her life to be here behind a microphone.
Oh, yes.
How you doing?
I'm not feeling so well.
Yeah. Where would you, on the classic 1 to 10 scale, where would you put yourself today?
Well, I don't have the usual, like, body aches and stuff. My throat just hurts so much, and I'm a little congested, and it hurts to speak.
You woke up...
And I had to ride the bus.
Sharing your germs with others.
Well, I woke up at, like, 1 o'clock in the morning and couldn't fall back asleep till, like, 5.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, you're on the bus where you already have a weakened immune system anyway.
Oh, it was awful.
And so then you're breathing whatever the assembled filth on the... I mean...
You know that row of, like, the four seats up near the front of the bus?
Oh, I know.
Okay, these mentally...
Yes.
I'm not mean to be mean, but these...
Thank you!
The biggest mentally retarded people I've ever seen in my life...
When you say biggest...
They were huge, and they were leaning on me. I was smashed against the bar, and
they were huge.
And this guy was, like, literally leaning on me, and then he got up, and this other big woman came and sat down. She was knitting and poking me with her needles.
Uh-huh.
It was awful.
Okay.
Do we have assistance, please, at row number one for toilet seat?
And the thing is, the crazy is what I meant to say. They don't have the same issues of, they don't have the same concept of personal space. They're like the British in that way.
It was weird. Have you ever seen that movie with John Cusack in it? What's it called, Identity?
No.
Okay.
No, I have not.
Well, the guy, okay, there's this really freaky looking guy who's really big and bald. And this is exactly what this guy looked like, except he had Band-Aids all over his head.
Oh.
And he's sitting next to me coughing, and then the lady poking me with the needles. I wanted to die.
Do you ever...
really hot in here.
And so it's... You're going to have the best day ever. I can already tell. Now, when you say needles, these are knitting needles?
Knitting needles, like the balls of the ends of her knitting needles. She was poking me with
Did
them.
She have
I think
all of
it was
her
a
faculties?
Woman.
Was she coordinated?
It sounds like some KGB plot.
Really?
Did she have like an enormous jacket on, and she pulls out this giant, like, you know, really long thing of yarn, of dark blue yarn, then pulls out her needles, and it's freaking me out because there's these
that's
big
the
metal
way they
needles.
Do it. She, seriously, that's the next thing you know. It's going to be glowing, and bits of your skin are going to be falling
And she's all jabbing
away.
Me, and then she gets off, and the guy with the Band-Aids on his head comes and sits next to me. And I swear, it felt like he was rubbing his leg against my seat, sitting, you know, totally spread-legged. There are four seats. There are two enormous people next to me and myself, and I'm smashed against the pole.
Like a big fleshy, mentally enfeebled cat, just trying to get... Maybe he was probably just trying to get your scent. That's probably all it was, Sarah. You know, there's nothing quite as unnerving, though, as really bizarre injuries that you can't quite understand the cause of. Like a guy with Band-Aids all over his head. And you look at him, and it's like, you think, well... A hunting accident? You know, it's like, well, what?
But
what
it wasn't
could
on the
possibly...
front or any normal spots. They were, like, covering his head.
You know what it is? That's a whole lot of get the robots out of my brain. That's what that guy is. He's probably on his way to see my wife right now in a professional capacity. He's probably one of those, well, you know, well, what are you doing with your coat hook, with this, coat hanger? Well, I'm jabbing it into my ear. Why? Well, because that's where the evil robots live.
Oh.
Well, okay. That's totally what that guy does. Have you seen this? And we're not on the lunch. So I'll just tell this story real briefly. I don't want to take us all the way back to last week and the crazy people riding the bus and so forth, but that is where they congregate. Have you seen the bucket woman? And when you say, and this is what you prompted me to think of her when you said that you were talking about this woman that you were sitting next to this morning, and you used the phrase, I think it was a woman. Have you ever sat next to the bucket lady on the bus?
Mm-mm.
All right, there is, and this is absolutely a true fact, there is this woman who rides the bus a lot in Portland. And I, when we worked at Fisher, and I used to take the bus to work and home again, because there's so little parking, and it's a big pain and whatever. Anyway, and she would take the number 9, and she, it looked like, I'm not gonna, I don't know that they, that she was getting a lot of electroshock therapy. Like, I can't say that that's the case. I don't really know if they even do that anymore. I don't know. I think that might have gone out with the Eagleton, where they just hook you up the jumper cables and try to make you all better. But she had these weird shaven patches on her. She was a huge woman, first of all. She looked, if you've seen the movie Stir Crazy with Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder, she looked like that guy Grossberger. Just a huge, just a massive polar bear of a woman. Just huge. And then she had, like, this crazy hair sticking out. I would say she's in her 40s. Really huge. Like a, just like a big Baby Huey-looking woman. Just massive. And then she had crazy hair sticking out. Some of it in, like, little baby barrettes that were, like, powder blue and pink. And then some of it just shaved, like, down to the skull randomly.
Wait, is this the woman that, that wears, like, this big fur coat?
No, when I saw her, she was wearing...
Woman carrying a bucket with a big fur coat with, like all kinds of different colors smeared all over her face with bald patches.
And she's huge and fat.
Oh, no, this
is
a different one.
No, this would be... Okay, but here's the telling detail about this woman. This is a Portland. This is a relatable. If you ride the number 9. Here's the telling detail about this woman. She's always carrying along a big bucket, and it's like one of those big Home Depot buckets. It's, I don't know what it is, like 10 gallons? Like one of those big 10-gallon buckets, the kind that, like, you rinse your rollers out and if you're painting the side of a house or something. And she... In one bucket... There's just a bunch of big, empty plastic bags. And the bucket, as I learned to my unending horror one night, is a sort of portable latrine that she takes with her. Because here's me, and this is an absolutely true story, here's me about, I don't know, 2-3 years ago, sitting at the bus, and I've seen her sort of around since then. She seems to be a lot at that bus stop that's on 39th and Hawthorne, right in front of Fred Meyer, right across from the Hawthorne Theater. Like, there's that Jiffy Lube, Hawthorne Theater, Fred Meyer, Triangle of Doom there. I see her there a lot. And so, this is about 2 years ago. I'm sitting there at the bus stop, and I look over and I say, you know, she's obviously one of God's special children, and fine, whatever. It's a part of life, it's part of the rich parade here in this thing we call life. And then I just hear this rustling sound, like someone's rooting around looking for a Ziploc bag. And I look over, and she's very, and this is like on a street, very, very methodically, very just a matter of factly, and she has two buckets stored, one inside the other. She's taking one bucket, putting it down on the pavement, reaching inside the other bucket, getting the Glad bag, lining the first bucket, and then here comes, and then it's the worst moment. Then just the lifting of the skirt, and just sits right down on the bucket, right there. And it's where you really want to hit your head against something hard to figure out if you're actually seeing this or if you've fallen into some sort of unpleasant flashback of something or other. And then when she's done, skirt goes back down, bag gets knotted up, put back inside the bucket, buckets put back together, and then it's right at that moment. She had it all timed out, because it's right when she finished, then the bus comes by. And then she gets on the bus, and, you know, and you get this all kinds of unpleasant sloshing around and whatnot happening. It was a bad scene. So, really, you haven't lived until you've ridden the bus. You're right next to that lady. Moving forward, Tim Riley is working on the phone.
All the more reason to move to the suburbs.
Seriously.
Where people go at home.
Your children are constantly stuffing cigarette butts into their mouth.
But I have more on that a bit later. Well, the Democrats may lose control of the Senate after all. This after Senator suffers from bleeding of the brain. Heavy rain and pounding winds are on the way here in the Portland metro area, and that is no help to those trying to rescue the lost Mount Hood climbers. And the Bureau of Land Management finally admits they didn't lock the gate to the road that the Kims drove down. So the question has to be...
How much?
Where did they get that lock that they were handing to reporters to hold up that they said the vandals had broken to open the gate?
I never thought about that. I remember that now that they were saying...
Where did that lock come from? Where did that broken lock come from?
Oh, you know, see, the thing is, it's not the thing that gets you, it's the lies, Richard Nixon says. It's not the crime, it's the cover-up. I forgot about
that. So who positioned that broken lock next to the gate and gave it to the reporters who were told to hold it up, saying this was the cause of this? Anybody asking that question today? No, we are.
Really? Is nobody asking that question?
Nobody is asking that question, and I want an answer.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you. Well, we are above a news or gathering organization, are we? Then the coin is still... I mean, they still have some people who work there, don't they? It's not all robots down there. It's not all spindles and machines. I hadn't really thought about that because here's the thing is my mind immediately went to the lawsuit that's undoubtedly going to happen because the state hadn't closed the road to death.
Right.
But I completely forgotten the fact that the journalists were like, as you can see, this lock had been broken by hooligans.
Here is a piece of that broken lock.
I didn't know they'd actually held up a physical lock.
That was found lying before that. Yes. It was a piece of a broken lock. Okay, who put that there? Where did it come from?
It's all going to end badly.
Where is it now?
All right.
We want to know.
It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. I'll also try to play some of this toilet audio.
Sounds like fun.
Not from the bus woman. From the...
Your own.
Yes, my own.
In keeping with the holiday season.
And just as a real quick side note, we have L.A. Guns tickets we're going to give away. That's because that show is tonight at Outlaws. Bullet Boys, Appetite for Deception, who I hear are really good. I'm looking forward to seeing them in person. I've never seen them live. And L.A. Guns tonight. That guy was really cool, by the way, Tracy Guns. It was a great interview yesterday, so I'm looking forward to seeing that show tonight. And then if you go to rickemerson.com, and I want to dwell on this. Speaking of cover-ups and things that get changed and people in positions of authority, Tim just prompted me to think of this, though. I got this sent to me by a listener named Jay, and he had gone to Yahoo News. And he went to Yahoo News, he'd gone there to check his email, and then he goes back a few minutes later. Now, you know that we've latched onto this phrase, new direction.
Yes.
And we're always looking for that. So if you go to Yahoo News, and he has sent me both of these screen captures here. He had gone to Yahoo News two nights ago, I think it is now, at around 10, I think it was 10:01, 10:02. And one of the headlines on Yahoo News was, Bush gives no hint of new direction in Iraq. Ha ha. He saves the picture and he circles it and sends it to me like, hey, look at this. Here's a new direction headline. He goes back to exactly the same webpage, and there's a picture of this below it. 5 minutes later, and you can tell by the timestamp on the news page, 5 minutes later, the headline has been changed to, Bush gives no hint of new Iraq direction. So the question is, is the jig up? Have they, as our fun come to an end, have they finally deduced this whole thing? So if you go to rickemerson.com right now, you can see that. It's 503-733-2970. Jeff, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi. Well, my girlfriend and I went to Walmart. And first off, don't go to Walmart. I'm just saying.
Yeah, mission accomplished.
It sounded like running water. And as we were walking up the parking lot, there was... a very large, large black woman with the largest white panties I've ever seen down around her ankles, leaning up against a minivan that I think was not hers. And she was in full whiz.
Lanky,
tall, smoking boyfriend, husband, whatever, is standing there looking at us, and he's like taking the cigarette out of his mouth and turns his head and looks at us. And I think it was probably one or two bottles of MD-2020 through there. And gives us the face that is so obviously saying, what are you guys looking at?
She's leaning against... Now, is she leaning face first, or is she leaning, like, backward against the face?
She's got like, her back up against. And
is she at least squatting?
Yes. And, large white tank top, large white panties. And if that wasn't bad enough, it was as if there was a black light on above her that made the large white panties and large white tank top glow in the dark. And so we can just really never go to the Walmart on what is that whole gate in 82nd again.
Sure they appreciate the advertisement. Sure they appreciate the plug.
Look for it on YouTube.
Really? Really, it is all for the best for everybody, though, Jeff. I think it's worked out well for you, too, in the end. One of those images. Now, you know, the thing, topic, we're really over time here, but, you know, a thing we never got to, a subject we never got to in this show weeks ago. We were going to... somebody had mentioned the subject of... a guy had called in about some horrific thing that he saw somewhere, and he used the phrase, there are just some things you wish you could unsee. And everybody in their head, we could do one of these days. I'm going to write this down. Things you wish you could unsee, because that is your image. That's your thing you wish you could unsee.
And that's it. That's it. You know, it's like Santa Claus naked. You know, if you could, you know, you just don't want to ever have to see that.
Could unsee. All right. Excellent.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
You're
all right.
Welcome.
One more quick call, and then we have to break. Scott, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, what's up? I just wanted to say real fast, I think that it's entirely possible that you might wear a 31-32.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your support.
Because the thing is, what a lot of people should know is that, you know, women tend to carry their weight in their lower regions, whereas men tend to carry it in the higher areas.
I carry it in my brain. That's where most of my weight is.
Right. Well,
most of my weight is inside my mind. So.
Yeah. And also, I had a quick bus story. My ex-girlfriend told me this story. She was riding the bus around the Hawthorne 39th area.
Who knew, by the way, that there were so many of these stories? We found out, we've stumbled into this. This is the endless vein of material here regarding the public transit system in Portland. All right, so you're riding the bus.
Well, it wasn't me. I've heard the story secondhand, but pretty sure it's true.
I see.
All right, well, this lady gets on the bus. She doesn't have any hands. And all the seats are full, as normally are on those buses around that area. And she says, she starts screaming and complaining that someone needs to get out of their seat. She says, "You all have hands. I don't have any hands." So I just thought that was,
What? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. You heard the story secondhand.
Yeah.
there's a joke there, like beyond the joke too, somewhere about the if she'd heard it would have been firsthand, because she doesn't, because the with the all right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Let's break now, shall we? It's 503-733-2970. You all have hands. It's the Rick Emerson program. All right, hello. It's the Rick Emerson radio program at 503-733-2970. Andy. Sometimes I get just the tiniest little glimpse into what this show must sound like to people who don't understand what I'm referencing at any given point in time. It must just sound like I have some sort of weird, unholy pop culture Tourette's. Or that I'm just like one of those guys who reeks of urine on a bus somewhere. You know what we ought to do? We ought to have... have you ever been to a concert? Like a rock show or something where there's a sign language person?
No.
I went to see... I guess it wasn't a rock show. What is it? It was something weird. It was like Hank Williams Jr. or something. But they had a woman up there who was like signing the, "Hank, why do you drink?" "To get drunk. Why do you..." You know, and it was just... She was giving that... She was closed captioning or whatever the hell you call it for deaf people in the audience. And we had to do some version of the show that is sort of... I don't even know what I'm thinking. This is an idea that is coming together in my head just as you're listening to me right now. But we ought to do some version of this show that is sort of expandable, like a thread on a message board, where as we go through, there's sort of an audio asterisk next to it that will explain what I'm referencing at any given point for those who are pop culture impaired. For example, now, when I said I was reading an email from Andy, that is from Pee-wee's Big Adventure. That is when they are sitting in the dinosaur and he's talking to Simone, who wants to go to France, and then her boyfriend Andy comes along and he chases Pee-wee with a huge bone. Andy! See, because... Never mind. Fine. I'll just be over here with my humor. Don't worry about me. Let's welcome from the Hill, CNN Radio... I'm doing it again. CNN Radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Okay.
That was a bad Mrs. Doubtfire. Usually I do better.
Now, see, I would even wish you would clarify this right now. That we had some discussion the other day about whether you were doing Mrs. Doubtfire or whether you were doing the talking navel on Seinfeld.
Oh, right. No, you know, and this goes back to Don and Mike again.
Yes.
Still on vacation, but... Don, that's the Mrs. Doubtfire for sure.
Okay. So when you do it, you are in fact doing Mrs. Doubtfire as heard on the Don and Mike show.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. I know that's where it's been reinforced.
Okay. And they will be back, by the way, on January 2nd.
Yes, so I hear every day.
They will be. A good 6-week vacation does everybody good.
Well, you know, it bums me out sometimes, but then I think, well, you know what? They could just quit.
And think of all they've given you over the years. Think of all the entertainment they've created for us.
Exactly.
So, all right. Well, it's a weird...
But all the more do we appreciate you, Rick. There's my kiss-up moment of the month.
Thank you. So now you're free from any sort of complimentary activities for the next like month and a half.
No, right. Yeah.
Until like first quarter 07. You don't have to worry about saying anything nice to me at all. So this is a strange day because there's a bunch of weird headlines anyway. And when I said we're just sort of... It does sort of feel like we are in what Art Bell would call the quickening, where things are just going a little wacky. So right. We should probably talk about this guy from South Dakota for just a second, even though it doesn't have a very drastic or demonstrable impact on people in Portland right away. But it is just an interesting story.
Right.
This guy, Senator Tim Johnson from South Dakota. Now, am I right about this, that he was on a conference call, mm-hmm. and then he just had... His brain just fell apart while he was on the phone. He had a stroke or brain bleeding or something. I mean, literally, he just, like, right there as he was on the phone, like, his brain just started to bleed inside or something.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly. He has something called congenital arteriovenous malfunction, which basically means it's something you get from birth. And most people don't know about it, and we think he didn't know about it until something ruptures. It means your veins aren't connected quite right in some place. And so he had a rupture while he was on a conference call with reporters, and you can tell he's stammering, and it was right in the area, we think, where that's in charge of your communications. And so he was stammering. He couldn't really make out his thoughts. And then as he's trying to say something, you can tell he thinks he's saying something, but it's sort of gibberish. And then someone just says, "Thank you, Senator." You know, and ends the phone call, and it was
short
after that he went to the emergency room. I guess the big update is out of surgery, the bleeding's been stopped, the area's been stabilized, but not giving a long-term prognosis. Still, Democrats being more and more optimistic. In fact, just in the past hour, Tom Daschle, former famous majority leader, coming out of the hospital, told CNN that Tim Johnson will not have to give up his seat, that there's no reason for that, and so that sort of is the first putting to rest officially of these ideas that Johnson would be replaced by a Republican and change the balance in the Senate. So they're really downplaying that at this point.
Well, I mean, not to be cynical, but I mean, they're obviously going to downplay it. Even if it isn't true, they're going to downplay it until they absolutely are forced to do
otherwise. I don't know that that's true. I think that they would, maybe. I mean, maybe I'm too naive, but I think it would hurt them more than help them to say something like that and later be shown that was politics.
I don't know. You know, I lived, I mean, as you did, I lived through that, no, Ronald Reagan is up and joking with physicians, you know, when clearly that he was just, he was down below the White House and Kevin Kline was in there viewing the frozen bodies. So it's just, I don't mean to make light of it. Obviously, it's a tragic thing. And this is one of those things, by the way, one of those, I won't call it a disease, but one of those ailments that right. really is terrifying to me because it's one of those things that I fear getting because it just seems like it would be the worst. Like aphasia is sort of like this where your brain can think of the right word, but you just can't say it.
Yes.
And I mean, that's the kind of stuff that really freaks me out. It just seems it's just a bad. There's a whole lot of things that I just don't wish to get in this world. And that's one of them.
Well, it's something like 1 in 1,000. The risks are between 1 in 1,000 and 1 in 10,000 people have this. And some people it never has any complications. Some people it does. But some people who get headaches, get a certain form of headache, can check out and do a sort of, they send sort of like a radioactive ion through your brain and they can see it and they can see if there's problems, that kind of thing. But most people, they just have no way of knowing. So, yes, I'd like to add to your fears.
Thank you. Thanks for making me. And the only way to cure it or diagnose is to inject radiation in me Putin style.
Right. Yeah, you know, and that was a low moment as the press corps was reading outside of the hospital that someone just happened to be on the phone with someone else and the word polonium came out of their mouth and someone else was like, polonium?
Yes.
What?
Well, the good news about all this is I will undoubtedly be dead of cancer long before any of these other things can fail me. So that's something to look forward to. There's an upside.
Exactly.
I want to share with you a little insight into the mind of Scotty J. Scotty has updated, because I know you were going to be talking about Michael Chertoff, the Homeland Security
right.
Secretary, and sort of what their goals are in the year 2007. And clearly, I thought their goals were just going to be a lot of, we don't want to be blown up, and we'd like for people not to kill us, and so forth. But then Scotty updates it through the new bulletin, and he has a sort of less traditional spelling of some of these words. He has spelled the word sheik or shake as S-H-A-K-K-E, and Al-Qaeda has been spelled A-L-K-I-D-A, Al-Qaeda.
Al-Qaeda, nice.
I'm assuming it's Al-Qaeda that he meant to say.
Well, I like that for anyone who watches Aqua Teen Hunger Force, I like the sort of master shake reference there.
That's fed. Man, so you got Bob Costantini referencing Death Cab for Cutie. You're talking about Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Are they putting you guys through some sort of pop culture crash course boot camp school there? Or are you really just this hip?
We just roll like that. That's it.
That's fantastic.
But listen, we got to go through this stuff because there's okay. something random going on that's not in the news that I want to briefly tell your listeners about.
Okay. I'm here, and I understand there's just something about you must avenge my death. I mean, that's that he said that there was something, and I'm not trying to play dumb. I really don't know the story. He said that there was some breaking story
right.
about Al-Qaeda, and it had something to do with a death vengeance and whatever, and it sounded very unnerving. So, of course, we'd like to wallow in that.
Well, there is actually some better news on that story as well. This is talking about a man who has been in prison for years in the United States, who is connected with the initial bombing on the World Trade Center, and he's known as the Blind Sheik. And he actually, 68 years old, his name is Omar Abdel Rahman. He began to spit up blood about a week ago, a little bit more than a week ago. And he was taken from his prison room to an emergency room while they gave him a transfusion. It turns out he had a cut on his esophagus, and they fixed that. But they found a tumor on his liver. They've also fixed that. Now, he's back in prison. He's in stable condition, but in the meanwhile, the FBI sent out a bulletin because this man, when he went into prison or somehow during his time in prison, issued what the FBI says is his last will and testament, which asks people to avenge his death if he dies in prison, asks them basically to exact violent revenge. And so the FBI is warning people, this guy went to the hospital, this was a serious situation, and he's issued this threat. But on the other hand, we're getting word just in the last few minutes that the truth is this guy is now in stable condition. But nonetheless, the FBI is watching and letting law enforcement all around the country be aware that this is out there. Who knows? They say they don't know of any specific plots, but this guy, they know that Al-Qaeda has spoken about him, that his name, in fact, came up at an Al-Qaeda press conference in 1998. Now, that leads me to question, who did they notify when Al-Qaeda had a press conference in 1998? But that's what the FBI says, so that's the story here, and people are just being cautious.
Avengeable. Whatever happened to, like, flowers may be sent to, in lieu of services, please?
Right, the Humane Society.
Yes, yeah, seriously. A donation to the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Right.
Good God. This is a strange energy in the air today. And we're a little bit overtime here, but real quickly, I ask this question only because I am sort of curious about it. It says that Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff discusses the year in review, and the department's goals and priorities for 2007. This sort of seems like one of those make work assignments, like when your boss says, look, I'd like you to give me a mission statement for the upcoming fiscal quarter. And really, it's just like, don't get fired. Try not to get the company sued or bankrupted in any way. The end. I mean, really, what could his goals be?
They do this every year. This is part of just kind of the Washington wheels that turn. They're not the only ones that do this. And a lot of times this also comes up when they go before Congress. They do this annual report or whenever they do it. And then they sit down before Congress and say, they're kind of dutiful executives of an agency and say, hey, here's what I want, blah, blah, blah. And, it's really, I see this as kind of like you. It's really part of the process. I don't see any major surprises here.
Okay, I saw a note that I made to myself earlier. One final, and this is kind of off the subject, but I know this is in your wheelhouse, as they say. It doesn't really seem like people are paying enough attention to this business that apparently now, like, everybody in Russia is being poisoned or is covered in radiation of some kind. The story about the spy that got poisoned and the whatever, I mean, it just, is this freaking everybody else out as much as it is me? Because it really does, I was talking to somebody about this last night, this really does seem like we've immediately fallen back into, like, a weird Cold War era with this.
Yeah, well, no, I think this is definitely an exclamation point story. There's no doubt about that. And I think especially in Europe, because so far, no polonium in the U.S. But I think over there where, a restaurant, people who work in one of the hotels, where Litvinenko was, have showed up with some sort of radioactive presence. Now, none of them apparently have been contaminated enough to get sick, except for that at least there are two people that I think have been or were hospitalized other than the spy who died, Litvinenko. But all those other workers who may have come across it, apparently not enough and including his Litvinenko's wife, also tested positive for exposure. I think that is it's unbelievable. And what I wonder is clearly who, we've talked about this before, clearly whoever did this knew. Yeah, it seems like they must have been sending a signal, because they clearly knew that not everyone has polonium. It's not as easy to get as Dolly Parton 9-to-5 rat poison.
That's a skinny and sweet.
That would be the skinny and sweet, exactly. And I feel like they had to have known doing this, or maybe they just felt like these spies were way too good. This was the only way they were going to get them. But I can't imagine there's no other secret way to kill someone except to use a incredibly rare.
And the great thing about it, and by great I mean great if you're mean, not so much if you've been dosed with radiation, is that to me I picture all of these things like bad noir cloak and dagger films, where there's like some guy walking across a bridge late at night with a pointy umbrella, and he jabs another guy in the leg and then runs away, and they're all wearing fedoras and top coats and so forth, and it's just a weird thing. It really is like a flashback to an earlier time. So, all right.
Well, real quick, I want to first of all tell Lily Tomlin fans, I know she's the one that had the poison, but I like Dolly Parton a lot too.
It looks just like Skinny and Sweet. That's exactly what she said. Man, that's an underrated film. It really is. That's
Isn't it?
Oh. 9-to-5 is a film that, I mean, even and I don't even know that I'm necessarily in that film's target demographic, but that is a fine piece of... Here's the thing.
Exactly, for many reasons, right.
The thing about 9-to-5 is you know that it's an inevitability. It is an inevitability that they will do a terrible remake of that starring Jessica Simpson and, you know, like whoever else. You know it's true. I don't have any inside information. I just know how America works.
No, let's talk about it no more. I don't want anyone else hearing that, getting that idea.
All right, okay.
But, okay, so I'll leave you with the tease then, because tomorrow will probably be slower than today. I want to tell you guys, kind of pull the curtain away, as you like to do so much, about some internal workings here in the Senate press gallery that are going on this week that are pretty funny.
Fantastic. So we'll hear about that tomorrow.
Yes.
That's a guarantees is what that is.
We'll see.
All right. Thank you. Lisa Goddard on the Hill. Thank you, sister. CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard from the Hill there from CNN. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Fantastic. Andy, let's now, which is that, and that's only one shade away from that. Thank you. Oh, is that Theraflu? Oh, you don't want to screw with that.
I already took one this morning.
Oh, well, that explains a lot. That's, No. Did you take the daytime Theraflu or the regular Theraflu? You got to be careful with that. Theraflu, that's nothing to screw around with.
Mm.
There's the regular. Can I see that? Is this the same kind you took this morning? Sarah Dillon is feeling a little under the. Let's see. It does not note. It does not note that this is the daytime Theraflu. And here's the thing: even the daytime Theraflu now is pointless, because you can no longer buy the kind that has the pseudoephedrine in it, which is the stuff that keeps you awake. So the problem with Theraflu is it's sort of like NyQuil, where you just become a zombie. You're just like your body keeps on working, but your brain is just
I mean,
has checked
so into
a fog.
I've got to eat it. All
right.
Drink it. See, I can't.
Me, sir, I like pretty shiny things. Will, hello, sir. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
What's up, brother?
Yeah, I'll give you a disclaimer. I'm a little intoxicated.
Fantastic.
But I went over to satellite radio when Howard left.
Satellite radio, yes.
And I typically, I didn't even know you were back on the air. I listened to you on the old station quite a bit. And I have been dying today listening to you. I have been cracking up.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Oh, my God. I lost my license for a while. I'll leave that to your imagination. But
attention to advertisers.
And so I had to ride the bus.
Uh-huh.
And so your bus conversations, I was dying.
So they was both amusing and relatable to you, Will.
Oh, my God. I was, seriously, I was doubled over.
It is.
Especially, especially the thing about, on one hand...
Oh, yeah, because she had... Well, this guy... I don't understand this. Look, let's talk about this for a second. First of all, here's the thing. Because I act as a proxy for the audience sometimes. Here's what the audience wants to know, first of all. It's a little before noon. Now, are you currently employed? And there's no shame in being unemployed. I'm just asking.
I am totally employed.
Now, you are intoxicated, though.
Yes, I am.
Now, are you on the clock?
No, I'm not.
Is this like your Saturday or something?
No. My wife has dumped me, and my employer has given me a few days to kind of get things back together.
Yes, I see.
And I have chosen to get things back together by drinking heavily. And
you're going to fit in just fine with the rest of the audience here, sir. You are one of us already. God bless you.
So I'm off the clock today.
Yes.
And
what is your drink today, sir? What are you drinking?
Well, I started out with some beer, but I have switched over to some fine red wine.
All right. Now, what time did you start with the beer on this Thursday morning?
Do you want the truth?
Yes, I do. Well, sir, we speak only the truth here. That's the kind of relationship we have.
Okay, 4:30 this morning.
4:30. Well, that's pretty impressive, actually.
Essentially, I haven't slept in about 3 days since she gave me the news.
So you and Sarah are pretty much in the same boat mentally, for different reasons, but you guys are pretty much in the same mindset today. Kind of fuzzy around the edges, a little underslept, a little exhausted, feeling a little intoxicated. Now, what time this morning did you switch to red wine?
I didn't switch to red wine until about 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. Well, I mean, it's good that you know variety is the spice of life.
It is, and there's a very good chance that I may switch over to vodka later.
Well, you should call back. Let us know later on if you switch to something else. The audience wants to know, because here's the thing: is that it's bad. Sounds like you going through a weird situation, bad time, whatever. I'm not going to sit and mouth a bunch of "this too shall pass" and "it's always darkest before the dawn."
Oh no, that's not what I'm looking for. The reason I called was because I rediscovered you. You know, I mean, I was always a humongous Don and Mike fan, and
yes,
I still listen to them on the internet occasionally, and I always listen to you, and I was actually listening the day that they cut you off.
Bastards.
And, yeah, and,
So anyway, but
that
so
was pretty
but,
close to the time that I bought the Sirius.
But we have brought you back from satellite. This program has brought you back to real radio from satellite.
For this time period.
Well, thank you, sir. Well, we appreciate that. I mean that sincerely. That means a lot. I thank you for that.
You bet.
All right, sir. Well, enjoy your red wine, and let us know later on if you switch to a different type of alcohol, sir.
See you, Rick.
Thank you, Will.
Bye-bye.
All right, thank you. There you go.
See, I don't like being sick around you because you always act like you're mad at me.
I'm not mad at you.
You get mad at me for getting sick.
Damn your frail human weakness!
Like, you don't ask if I'm okay. You're not asking anything. You're just
because
like,
you don't like it when I ask if you're okay.
If I'm sick, I like it.
You are so confused. It's so hard to figure out, Sarah. You don't like it when I ask if something is wrong.
No, I feel like I'm disappointing, but I can't do anything about not feeling well.
Has Rick ever
And then you just made fun of me for taking Theraflu, which is what I'm taking to try and get better so tomorrow isn't like this.
I wasn't making fun.
Did you hear me complain? Did I show up early for work, if not on time?
You... Now, look.
Did I ride the bus? The crazy knitting needle lady?
Now, listen, I'm being really nice to you, and not just because you're sick, but it's because it's what I do. I'm just saying you're speaking from a position of sickness induced crankiness right now. I have been perfectly pleasant and polite. I did not make fun of you for taking Theraflu. I was just saying you got to be careful with that because it's like NyQuil. It'll totally. I'm just saying. If you're concerned, as I'm sure it is, if you are concerned with, you're doing a good job, your performance, you want to be at the top of your game to whatever extent you can be, I'm just saying, I know it sucks to be sick. Theraflu's not really going to get you where you want to be, though, because it makes your head fuzzy, at least for me. I was just saying.
Only the night one makes my head fuzzy. This is.
But aren't they all the night one, though, unless they're specifically labeled other ones? All right.
No, this is the daytime one.
All right. Now, I'm not...
I'm having a hard time talking. It really hurt.
And I didn't ask how you were because I know how you are. You're sick. Because you called me this morning, you're like, I don't feel so well. I'll still be there, but I'm terrible. And then you came and you did something you don't really do. You normally come in and you're here in the studio and you're checking your gossip sites, doing your blog or whatever. And instead, you just came and sat in my office this morning for like 30 minutes and just stared at the ceiling sort of blankly.
And drank out of my giant box of orange juice.
Yeah, how are you, sir? I feel terrible. And so I haven't asked because that would be stupid, because I know how you feel. And B, because it bugs you when I ask if something's wrong.
No, like if I'm cranky and something's wrong. No, but say, like I'm trying, like I have this A game hidden behind my voice, but I can't talk very loud.
Totally. You're like Richard Pryor in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. I'm funny somewhere in here. So I can only ask if you're okay. I can only ask if something's wrong if I know it is. Like today, I can't ask if something's wrong if I really want to know.
God, girls are confused.
Because that's kind of how it sounded to me. All right. Well, take a break. We'll give your voice a rest. Take a break. We have a good friend of ours. Somebody, Sarah Dillon, we come back behind curtain number 3. A friend of ours who's also under the weather today. Who is it? We'll find out after this. And Tim Riley joins us from the Ministry of Truth. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere.